All right. Well, we're back. Portuguese. Okay, I sent that to you a couple of days ago, James. We finally get it out. Oh, look at this beautiful picture of Johannesburg sky this morning. As I walked into the office, I took this. Ooh. Have you got that picture? Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous?
That is beautiful.
That's just off my phone this morning. I think that's lovely.
Okay, this is my new wallpaper.
Isn't that nice?
This is beautiful.
Yeah, I sure. like that. And you know, these guys who are designing our sets and things, they say to me, oh, I don't know where I'm going to get it. Like, where am I going to get a HD 4K version of a Joburg sky? And I'm like, I'm like half asleep this morning walking into the office and I took that. Just show it again. That's a good picture. Right?
You're getting
look at the colors in that sky. We live in a beautiful place.
You must start selling these wallpapers.
Right, Mesh? Why have you put on your glasses now? What's going on? Oh, just to see that.
No. Just because I have something that I'm going to read.
Oh, okay. We're going to get a lesson from Mash. Pasta Mash just now. Okay. A couple of things going on in the comments here. I see lots of people fighting with each other in the comments. Calm down, everybody. All right. It's too early in the morning for us to be fighting. Tabo says, I want problems all the time. Not sure what that relates to, Tabo, but okay, we'll take your word for it.
Good for you, Tabo.
Then there are people like Lee who says, beauty is everywhere. It's all about perspective.
It is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Mash thinks beauty is in gymming, eating properly, and using peroxide in your cream.
For me, it's not about beauty.
It's working for you.
It's about feeling good.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Don't take anyone else's shit.
Certainly.
Whatever you want, Mash. Yeah. This is your life. You live
100%,
it.
Yeah. But Gareth, there's actually a new trend moment that's taking the world by storm.
Thank God you're here because I don't know anything about new trends. Go on.
So it's actually two trends, but I'm only going to cover the one. So it's called micro-retirement. Have you heard this term before?
No.
So it's a new thing that young people are doing, Gen Zs are doing in the workplace. Uh-huh. And instead of taking one long retirement when they turn 65, they're deciding to take small retirements throughout their working career. So meaning that I work for a year, I retire for 8 months or up to a year. I work for another year, I retire for another year, okay. And so on and so forth. So this is a new thing. Of course, it's quite expensive. So...
Yeah, you need to have a lot of money because by retiring, we don't mean moving back in with your parents.
No, you're continuing your life, your way of life, standard of life.
Okay.
But you need to be able to afford it for up to a year. So it's a new thing that's coming in and people are loving it. Young people are loving it because they're saying it's for their mental health. It's helping them out in terms of wellness.
Please, you know, these wellness young people, they need so much help with their mental health.
They do. Oh,
you can't say we anymore. Now Mash, once you were the youngest, Mash, it's like when Simpiwe is on Friday's shows, when Simpiwe comes in here and she's like, now almost, she's getting closer and closer to 30, right?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, so you can't claim to be like, there is a whole generation of people who are in their early 20s and in their late teens. They are now the young people.
I think
I'm in denial.
I'm in denial because, you know, approaching 30, there's a lot of denial and all that stuff. You're trying to turn the clock back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in that phase. So I think I might just write micro-retire. But also, alongside micro-retirement, there's another trend that's coming into play, and that's the great retiree return.
Oh, my God. What is that? That sounds horrible.
The great retiree return is old people or people who have retired returning to the workplace due to financial pressures because they simply cannot afford to retire.
Oh, okay. I feel that's very, very sad.
That is very sad. And you,
if they were coming back because they wanted to,
yeah,
fine. You know, and I also don't think retirement should be a thing.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of these micro retirement fuckers. I think that you should be able to work until
you say I'm good.
Yeah, and you must decide. And obviously, if you're physically or you're mentally impaired, like we can't have you there if you've got Alzheimer's and you can't remember your own name.
Oh, certainly.
I don't want to be paying you a monthly salary to forget where am I? What day is it?
You at work, Gareth.
Are you my grandchild? No, I'm your boss. Okay, I don't want that. But you should be able to, if you are mentally and physically well, you should be able to keep working.
Hi. So then there's an article here from Forbes that I got here, and it says, while Gen Zs are taking micro-retirements, baby boomers are leaving retirement and returning to the workplace in droves. Why? According to Shanna Milford, USHR lead at Iris Software Group,
yeah,
for the 13% of retirees planning to re-enter the workplace in 2025, financial pressures like rising living costs and non-medical debt are key drivers. Beyond financial stability, returning to work offers retirees social benefits, a renewed sense of purpose, and opportunities to slow down without throwing in the towel.
So, shame.
It is quite sad.
I mean, I don't ever want to see like an old man or an old woman suffering. I hate that, because it's, even though I don't really like a lot of old people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who does?
Certainly. Yeah.
Don't laugh. It's true. No, you know, I do feel bad for them if they have to work into their 80s. Yeah. I think that's horrible.
Because the sad reality is that your quality of life when you retire is not necessarily going to go down, but hopefully your expenses do. But of course, life is also unpredictable.
Mm.
Maybe some people are paying bonds into their 70s.
Maybe these 75, 80-year-olds are balling and they want to show off. They're driving G-Wagons and buying Louis Vuitton jackets. And you never know.
I wish that was the reality.
I just think that if you want to, you should be able to work. There shouldn't be a forced retirement age. If you want to, you should be able to work until you're 100. As long as you can. But if you need to, because you haven't, maybe, you know, the cost of living's gone up so much, inflation's gone up so much, that even though you thought you'd be saving enough and it wasn't enough, which is the case for most people in this country.
Yeah.
You know, they always tell us,
maybe
10% of people will be able to retire. Mm.
And you know, Gareth, also, the thing is, with a lot of people, so they say most of your movement, most of the calories you burn while walking, while doing menial tasks that you don't even think about.
Right.
Now, for most people, that is all they exercise throughout their lives. Just going to work, walking up the stairs, going to Belinda's office, etc.
That Belinda. And her office is always the furthest.
So that is their exercise, full stop. They have no other exercise apart from that. So when they retire, they die within 2 years.
That's such a good point. Within I never thought years. About how
my own grandfather
like
as well.
Just going to work is most people, that's all they do.
It's all the exercise.
I thought
they
about
get.
That actually when I was coming up the stairs before I took that, just let's say, beautiful photograph. Just put it up again. It's such a great photograph. Just from this morning, you know? I know that some people study photography and buy fancy cameras, but I just did that while climbing up the stairs today. And while I was going up the stairs, I thought, I don't use the lift here.
Yeah.
I go up these two flights of stairs. It's not. I never get to the top and I'm out of breath. And if I do, trust me, that's when I'm going to have to go check into some fat farm or whatever. But people do. They don't even realize, like, going to work, going to the car, going to the shops, these are things you have to do on a daily basis that are actually part of keeping fit.
Yeah. Nobody even thinks about it. But
I never
reality.
Thought about it until today.
My own grandfather retired and 2 years later, poof.
Dead.
You know, most of my, I don't have any grandparents at all.
Yeah, mine are all gone as well.
Yeah, they all just started, they all retired 1-2 years.
But MASH, it's they've done us a favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But also then going back to the micro-retirement, here's a few case studies of people who did micro-retire.
Hmm.
So here's one of them. According to Adama Lona, a content creator on TikTok and YouTube, who describes herself as having a renaissance approach to personal development. She says, when you are away from work this time, when you are away from that work this time, this retirement frees up your mind. Lona, who says she is in her 20s and has 140,000 followers on TikTok, 36,000 on YouTube, she explains, instead of waiting until you're 60 or 70 to travel the world, do it while you have your youth, your energy, your health. Another TikToker, Anais Felt, said that she is 6 months into a micro-retirement from the corporate job she claimed, and she claimed, I have never felt better. I've never felt healthier. I've never been more rested. It's been amazing. However, Felt mentioned that before doing so, she had saved a sizable chunk of $70,000.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Like, if you've got money, you feel fine working or you'll feel fine retired.
Certainly.
Most people are not at work because they want to feel good. They're at work because they want to make money so they can feel good.
Exactly. Most people don't even have money to save. To save.
Oh, my God. All right. Listen, before we bring on our guest for this morning, I'm very excited to talk to this guy. I haven't spoken to him for ages.
Yes.
I do want to quickly refer to one other thing that is important here. Mash is talking about micro-retirement, but apparently we're opening a new water school in South Africa.
Ooh.
Yeah, Rand Water are establishing a technical academy to enhance skills development in South Africa's water sector. I'm all for this, by the way. I think this is very good news.
Yeah.
Here's a glass of water from, this is, I think it's tap water. I don't know. We just get our water coolers filled. Who knows? Maybe they filter it, maybe they don't. But I'm not one of those people who's particularly fussy.
Yeah.
We've always had very good water in Johannesburg.
It's pretty good. It's
been among the best in the world. Mm-hmm. Whether it's still that good, I don't know. But this water academy might sort things out. So here's a place to send your kids and grandkids rather than paying exorbitant fees at university. Send them to the water school so that they can take over water and sort things out there where it's not working. And then we don't have to stress. Everybody got me so stressed like 2 years ago. They're talking about, oh, we've got load shedding. Next, it's going to be water shedding. Remember?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. Well, they're still on that. There's some people are still saying that's going to happen. They might be right. The facility will focus on digital water management. I don't know what that is. But
digital water. Okay.
Don't ask me. Automation, intelligent water systems, incorporating advanced labs and simulation tools. Hey, as long as it makes this okay to drink, I'm happy with it. The academy will repurpose an existing building. Construction set for completion by November 2026. Great.
That is amazing. That sounds lovely to me.
And you spoke about retirement, and I just want to say that South African billionaire Do Steyn died yesterday at the age of 72.
Oh, no.
Yeah, leaving behind a legacy of innovation, insurance, property, and hospitality. He pioneered telephonic motor insurance with Auto in General, expanding his ventures into the UK and Australia, where he founded the BGL Group and Compare the Market. So he was really an innovator in the insurance world.
Yes.
And that's why he ended up with so much money. His businesses now employ over 10,000 people globally.
Yo.
More recently, he realized his vision for Steyn City, which of course is a luxury development in Johannesburg. A noted philanthropist, he also pledged $370 million to COVID-19. One of the most interesting things about Do Steyn, and we will move on from this in just a moment, but I didn't know the guy personally. I'd met him once or twice. Certainly, this man had a visionary personality, not just in terms of insurance, but you look at what's happened at Steyn City. And yeah, you know, he thought big. There's a guy who could make things happen. And he was also a big friend and supporter of Nelson Mandela when he came out of prison.
Okay.
For example, Mandela stayed at the Saxon, which was Do's house. It's now a hotel. That used to be Do's house.
Oh, it used to be his house.
And Nelson Mandela stayed there as his personal guest for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years.
Yo.
Yeah. And Do Steyn was very, very supportive of him financially. Mm. He also, Madiba, this is, wrote the last few chapters of Long Walk to Freedom. He put together a lot of his plans for the government that would follow in 1994 after he was released from prison, when he was staying with Do either at the Saxon, or he built his own little Camp David for this man. So cool. Madiba had a place in the Waterberg where he would go.
Okay.
And he would be able to invite people there and in the bush where no one else bother him.
Yeah.
Get away from the noise. And Do Steyn did a lot of stuff that people don't even know about in order to get this country up on its feet and out of the starting blocks in the early 90s. So a good man and a sad loss to our business community.
Yo, that is such a sad loss. So he never retired?
No, he did retire.
Oh, he
definitely retired.
Oh, okay.
But died at 72. Mm. He wasn't well towards the end.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know,
yeah,
a really important guy. So I want to bring on somebody who I think a lot of people in the audience may know, Pig Spotter. Do you know Pig Spotter?
I know Pig Spotter.
Okay, Pig Spotter, yeah. A very, very famous, some people would say infamous Twitter account. This guy, Cliff Pinto. Now, he and I were often confused for each other because he's got a Cliff in his name and I've got a Cliff in my name. I mean, you know, people are really bright. He was the one who used to tell us where the cops were, what they were doing. This is how it all started. And it became probably one of the most powerful, influential, useful, interesting Twitter accounts in South Africa in a very short space of time.
Yes.
And also got him into huge shit. So he's here this morning, and it's nice to actually have you in the studio. I mean, I've had you on radio shows before.
Yeah.
We've spoken a couple of times. Yeah. I just realized this morning I wasn't even following you again because I cleared out a whole lot. No, I'm back. Don't worry. I'm back. It's nice to see you, dude. How are you?
Very wonderful, man.
Yeah, have you met Mash?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, well, outside in the corridor, we have got a glass of water together. How's it? No, it's
water from the Water Academy. Okay, so how are you? What's news?
Dude, like so much has actually gone on. Just realized the other day, PixPod has actually been going on 15 years. 15 years.
Guys. You were a sensation when you started.
It was pretty epic back in the day. It's nice to keep anonymous for like 5 years. Yeah. So like nobody knew who I was. That was fantastic. That was a lot of fun. But then obviously, you know, with the invention of Waze and all those other good things, kind of, you know, to hit a bit of a plateau, and then you just...
Let's give you credit. You helped lots of people by telling them where the pigs were.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
And the Metro Police, no one loves them.
No one loves them. I mean, look, and that's purely because of the perception that they've given themselves.
Sure.
Every time people get pulled over, the first thing they ask is like, yes, it's hot today.
Yeah.
Yes, it's hot. And that's the first international
language. Don't worry. Mash and I have talked about how we... We've both in various situations ended up with Metro Police people. You've either had to bribe or who've asked for a bribe or who you didn't give a bribe to. That's pretty much the story in South Africa.
That is what it is. So they didn't paint themselves in a favorable light as it is. And obviously, you know, like with the whole porcine references, that was the catalyst, you know, that kind of...
They hated you, hey?
They hated me. They actually illegally set up roadblocks to try and find me. That was the funny part of it, yeah. So they were conducting illegal roadblocks, checking people's phones to see who they were on Twitter to see if they could find the PixSpotter.
Which they're not allowed to do.
They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
No. But anyway, yeah. And then
do you think that the Metro Police have become better or worse?
Look, from what I've seen less of them, to be deadly honest. I haven't seen as many Metro cops on the roads. If you go down to Cape Town, however, because I'm actually semigrating, but between provinces at the moment. Yeah. So I'm flying up and down all the time. The cops down there, they're a lot more visible. You know, so I kind of take my hats off to them. They don't take garbage. Whereas the guys up here in Joburg, I haven't really seen much of
them. They just set up cameras and hide in the bush.
That's it.
They're
literally warthogs. They're sitting in their little sanctuaries in their styes, and they just sit on their phones, playing on the phones, and they do absolutely nothing else.
Absolutely, yeah. And Gary, this is exactly why I mentioned earlier, I keep cash, at least $500 in cash in my glove box. This is just for them, because they will look for anything. In fact, there was one plot that they were pushing quite recently. Somebody exposed it on TikTok that they would lie and say that your taillights aren't working.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any reason to try and pull you over to Ghana.
But of course, you're not going to go chase.
You see, once you go down the path where you don't know what the rules are.
Yeah.
And when you give people, we were talking about this in the first hour, vague guidelines to follow.
Yes.
Then they will always find a reason to get you into trouble or for you to have issues with them. So if they wanted to and they after a bribe, they'll say, oh, well, you know, the nuts on your tires aren't tight enough.
Or, yeah, absolutely. If you're ignorant about the law, and your rights as a driver.
Where's your triangle?
Yeah. But look, that is a legal requirement, though. Let's be honest. That is a legal requirement. Yeah. But, you know, and only for vehicles from, I think, it's like 2013.
You had to study this stuff.
I had to, yeah. But I had a lot of help from our mutual friend, Mr. Howard Dabowski.
Yes.
Who obviously sadly has passed away since then. But
he was great.
Oh, man, he was amazing. He literally took me under his wing.
So let's just give him credit, even though he's no longer around. So Howard used to, he knew all the law.
Yeah.
He knew all the rules. And basically, he was like a Batman of ordinary citizens against cops who would just lie about the law and just get people very, very upset, very nervous, very anxious around police because it seemed so arbitrary. And Howard knew what was going on. He knew what the road safety procedures were.
And auto, for the most part.
He knew all of that, too. He knew what they could arrest you for and what they couldn't.
Yeah.
And he did a very, very good job. And you have too. I mean, you've helped so many people.
Thanks, dude.
But kind of in the past for you, right?
No. It's massively in the past. I've actually, I don't think I've been on social media as much. I think only since, it's become a bit more political, which is not necessarily ideal.
No.
You know, some people, like I tend to use my platform now just to express opinions and raise things that I think are important. Like with this whole Trump thing going down, it's not the direction that I wanted.
Did you end up doing what I did probably about 5 or 6 years ago, where I kind of went quiet?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because there was no more fun to be had. Everything was super serious.
And the vitriol,
arguing and angry and hateful and just nasty. You know, Stephen Fry was the first one to do that. He was like, "I'm getting out of this." But then I've kind of come quietly back. I must tell you, I'm having fun again.
Okay.
And I don't care who I piss off now.
Yeah. Do you ever respond to the haters?
No.
Not?
No, that's the difference. Like I used to reply to people.
Yeah.
And Mash is very active, but mostly on TikTok, right?
I mean, I'm active everywhere.
But that's where you get your biggest following.
Instagram. My biggest following is actually Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's about to change to TikTok because I've gained quite a bit.
I'm sure.
Over the past week. But for me, all the hate, all the people.
Do you respond?
I don't. I like every single comment.
Oh,
I
even like if they hate
everything,
you?
Even if it's hate. So I get a shitload, like a ridiculous amount of homophobic comments.
Oh, really?
Homophobic comments about how we can see that you had no father figure in your life.
But you have. How do they know you?
I literally have.
Who are these people?
Like, I get a shit, like, literally just go on in any of my pages. And
I won't. I won't look at it.
It's insane the amount that comes in. But I just like them. I like them all because I want you to feel like a haters. Piece of shit because you commented garbage about me.
I'll suggest this.
I like that.
Well, Mash, that's very, it's brave of you, but it can wear you down.
Yeah.
I mean, in the beginning, it's fun. The volume is just eventually unbearable because I've got this thing I've done now with X Twitter where you can see, where you only see the comments that are put up by people who you follow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
So if I'm following both of you now, if you post something or you reply to something, I'll see it. Yeah. But I don't see anyone else's. So I actually don't know. Unless you go and look, you can still go and look for it.
Yeah.
But I don't go and look.
Yeah, there's no need to.
How many people do you follow?
What are you going to get from it? I mean, like, what are you going to get from nasty people? How many do I follow? I don't know. Let me check. Yeah.
I think I follow like 20 people. I'll get like absolutely so then
you
tweets. Then
you know how nice it'll be. You should do that. You can go into your settings. You can do this.
Yeah,
I follow 588.
Okay, yeah, that's still the sizable. Yeah,
at least that's now, okay, right?
Yeah, 588. Okay, that's good to know. Thanks, dude.
I follow 32,000.
Yes, sis. You follow 32,000.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't see anything I'd post anyway because it's going to get lost in your feed.
Yeah. Honestly, on my Twitter, I just go to trending. That's all I look at.
Okay.
If something's not trending, I don't really care.
Sure. No, that's one way to. We all have our filters.
Yeah.
All right. So what you know would you say about? And this is something that comes up often, Cliff, is about kind of how the media environment has changed. What it takes to be an. You were one of the first influencers before that was even a word.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think has got better or worse? Like the Metro Police, have they got better or worse? Is this something that you, would you still consider yourself if people ask? Because you've got a sizable following on there that people still,
still own about
they hang around.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, they haven't all dropped off because I haven't been using the account.
What do you
think
of that?
Look, I think when I look at the content that is available on social media, what people are posting, a lot of it is health. You know, a lot of them looking back towards gymming. A lot of them looking towards mental health. A lot of them are looking to try and teach better parenting and those kind of things. And one of the biggest issues I have with all of this is people compare themselves to the content that they're consuming.
Yes. Right?
So if you are viewing a guy who's actually gone down and onto one knee and he's proposed to his missus after stepping off a helicopter at the Vic Falls, your partner's going to be like, geez, you didn't do that for me. Like, you know, clearly you don't love me as much as this guy loves his missus, you know?
Or so parenting, unhealthy.
For example, the people say, hey, look, this is how I raise my child. And, you know, my child can tell you what different types of cars are just, you know, at 2.5 years old, which is amazing. Like, fantastic. Congratulations. Wow. But then people take it, you know, as something like, oh, geez, I didn't do that with my child. My child couldn't do that until he was like 6. So I don't think that all the content that is being produced, some of it, although people may do it with the intentions of trying to be helpful and trying to educate.
Most people not, by the way. They're just showing off.
Yeah, most people probably just showing off. They just want to, you know, like just.
They will say, you can ask the guy who proposed to his girlfriend that the dick falls off a helicopter. You can say to him, why did you post that? He's going to say, oh, well, you know, it's because I love her so much. It's because I wanted everyone in the world to know how much I love. No, you did it because you want people to think you're cool.
Yeah.
It's attention seeking. Don't bullshit 100%. Us. Right, Mash?
Certainly.
Yeah.
Everybody wants people to think they're cool. Everybody wants people to think they're rich on social media.
So I agree with you, both of you, because if you think about the natural way people have found their place in society, the way that you position yourself among your friends, family, work colleagues, the people you see the most. It's a small group. Most of us, you know, there's this Dunbar's number, 120, I think it is. That's the maximum number of meaningful connections you can have in your life at any given time.
Yes.
And you'll figure out your place in society and in the world based on those 120 people, roughly. Mm. Now, thanks to social media and the internet, you're comparing yourself to billionaire Saudi princes.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, well, you know, I don't have a golden bath, so I'm a loser.
Right.
And even if it's subconscious, that's affecting people very negatively. So I joke with Mash just now. I made fun of like Gen Z people, mental health.
Yeah.
But honestly, the mental health problem and the anxiety and all that stuff is coming from exactly the stuff you're talking about.
Social media.
It's people comparing themselves to people they don't know, that they are not related to, that they have no relationship with, that are making them feel bad about themselves because they're not able to show off as much as those people.
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you a good example of this actually with my own little brother.
Mm.
My little brother spends all day, all night on TikTok. He's done with school. He just lays in bed all day and just scrolls through TikTok. That's all he does. And I've had many talks with him. I'm even trying to get him to make TikToks because I'm always telling him, you have a brother who's a freaking TikTok superstar. Like, yeah, use me.
Yeah, exactly. Use me. Yeah, you could help him get started.
Yeah, but he just watches. And then whenever he does speak, he's always comparing me to people. He's like, well, she has 500,000 followers, this friend of mine.
Oh, that's and so he bad. Thinks
in his mind, these people are his friends. They're all like one big happy family singing Kumbaya together. And I had to make him realize and bring him down to earth a bit and make him understand that this is real life. TikTok is not real life. You also can't compare me to the people on TikTok because I'm a real person. I am your brother. You know me.
Right.
You don't know these people. And you comparing me, like, you'll be like, oh, yeah, Ghost Klubi just bought an M4. Yeah, you're still driving that cheap little car of yours. He just bought an M4. That's how my little brother is. He's a toxic person. But, yeah, I'm like, why are you comparing me with him? Also, should I feel bad that he bought an M4 and I don't have one? Who said I want one?
But you're able to. You see, I also think, I mean, Mash, you're younger than Cliff and I, but
yeah,
we're the last generation. You and I, anyway, and many of the people in the comment section, last generation who knew what it was like to live without phones.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, okay. True.
And I think you got a little bit of that. The whole way through school, no phones, right? We didn't have cell phones. They hadn't been invented yet.
Correct.
They hadn't been, you know, one had been sold in this country. There were people who had mobile phones, but do you remember they were those huge big things? It was like you had to carry around a battery, a suitcase. I've got one here. It's in this bag. This is the case.
That's just your phone.
It used to be. You remember those big mobile phones?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Ages, back in the day.
Then at varsity, they started to come out with phones, but they were crap. You could basically just make a call. Okay. And then eventually SMS, and then eventually apps started to come out and all the rest of it. And then it changed very quickly.
Yeah.
And now I spend, in my opinion, way too much time on my phone, but it's still not as much as people like your brother, whose whole world is there.
Yeah. That's like, their reality.
I think you got, you said it just now, real life and your virtual life.
Yeah.
And you have to spend more of your time in your real life or you're going to go crazy.
Yeah. And that's, so I try to implement that separation as well. So that's why even when James was like, started playing the TikTok video and I got here, I was like, oh, we'll play for the show. Hey, because I don't like my social media life mixing up with my real life. I want it to be completely separate. I want people to know that I'm a completely different person from what you see on social media. Yes, I'm still authentic. I still share bits of my life, but that's not who I am. I'm a full person. I'm not this crazy person who's busy spraying hydrogen peroxide on his face and running around gym parking lots and shit. I actually am a real person. And that's all I want, well, my little brother mostly, but also other people to understand as well, that there's, you should learn to separate these things.
100%. I mean, even so when I had my account, the best part for me was actually being able to be anonymous.
Yes.
So a lot of people didn't know what I did. So I would go, I mean, so I own a company and I do like security for a living, right?
Okay.
So I'd walk into a lot of people's homes. And one of them even happens to be quite high up in the JMPD chain. And I was there working in his house without him even knowing. And that for me was the best thing. I could still walk around everywhere. Nobody knew anything, who it was or whatever the story.
What happened? How did it eventually get out who you were?
Oh, geez.
Because so you tried really hard to keep that anonymous.
No, I did try to keep it anonymous. And I probably still would have been anonymous today. But what happened was there was a kid who skipped a red robot and killed a motorbiker. And he was driving his mom's G-Wagon. And, I mean, there were eyewitnesses on the scene who then sent me all the information and said, listen, it was Nape Fasher was actually his name. Okay. And they sent me complete proof. I had like the number plate of the vehicle. It was said, listen, this is his mom's car. They just got it wrapped that day because it used to be white. They got it wrapped black for her birthday. And he was under the influence, hit the biker. And the biker subsequently died on scene. And a white BMW came through, picked him up, and they abandoned the car and they left the scene. So I posted about this. I said, listen, this is what happened. And he turned around and tried to sue me for defamation of character for $500,000. That's what he wanted. And but in those legal proceedings, he got my name and surname, and he literally just
obviously. Oh, so they got like a, because of the proceedings, they were able to do a search and find you and
find everything. Yeah, right. Like my full name and surname.
Oh my God, but you must have been really nervous about that.
Not at all, actually.
And what happened with the case?
Yeah, what happened?
Nothing. Nothing happened at all. So,
because it's not defamation.
No, it's not defamation. It's so, I mean, I handed it.
You say
over
nothing
to...
happened to you, but I mean, at the same time, this kid
what happened to had him?
Killed a person.
Is he in prison?
Well, look, let's put it this way. Nothing was, I mean, look, I kind of stopped following once the lawsuit started coming through, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to get involved in this anymore.
No.
Handed it over to my lawyer, and I didn't mention another word of it. And he said, listen, let's just keep quiet about it. It'll just get swept under the rug.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. So I kept quiet about it. And his defense was saying that it was actually his brother who was driving. And then I don't know if his brother actually took the fall for it. Because, I mean, they're very influential people. Sorry. The parents come from, obviously, a lot of money.
Mm. Yeah.
So we suspect that somewhere along the line, people were paid off to keep quiet.
How disgusting.
Just let it go. You know?
And that's how you became known publicly.
Yeah, correct. That's how my identity was revealed.
Sure.
All four names, like literally, like, you know, this is who this okay is, A, B, C, D. And then it came out like, oh, he lives in Germiston and this and that. So, yeah, it was quite interesting.
That's even dangerous.
But you know what's actually one of the worst parts for me of this entire story is that's where I first got the glimpse of what social media really is like. Mm-hmm. Because immediately I had a whole lot of people saying to me, oh, you're racist. You're going after him only because he's... he's a black guy.
Of course, the
no. This is what happened. You're a white guy, obviously, because now we can see what your full name is. Previously, they didn't know. I could have been this 45-year-old guy in a basement of his parents' house or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and that's where I first realized just how nasty the internet can be. And then when it came to light that the biker that died was actually a black guy, Then they were like, oh, okay, no, it's fine. Then it's fine that you report.
Yeah, but you see, this is what people are so full of shit.
Yeah, now it's a racist. Hey. Now it's fine. Now you
people are so full of shit. You know, it really bothers me. I mean, even in the comments this morning, like there was an argument between Snae and someone else. And this other person assumed that Snae was a man and she's a woman.
Assumption.
But it's amazing how that's important.
Yeah.
Like, how come we can't just assess somebody based on strength of their argument, their personality, how kind they are, what they do for themselves and for other people, how much value they bring to anything? No, we have to preface that first with their pronouns or their gender or their race, or like, it's just so dumb. And we keep, as human beings, we keep falling into this. I try really hard, and it takes conscious awareness all the time to not pander to people because they are women or because they're black or they're white or they're whatever, they're connected to someone important.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing you can do is to patronize people and treat them a little bit better because you feel like somehow you're superior to them. That's horrible.
Sure.
It's demeaning for them, and it's demeaning, frankly, for you.
Yeah.
Similarly, you don't get extra mean with someone when you find out that they're white or black or you speaking to a man or a woman, because otherwise you're just a prick.
Yeah.
And people are not even aware of this. It's like their whole thing changes. I mean, I know somebody who, on the phone, they sound white, but they're actually black. And and he said to me before, like the difference, the way he gets treated when people find out that he's black, as compared to when they hear him on the phone.
Yeah.
It's mad. 100%. And then sometimes the opposite happens. Sometimes they'll hear him on the phone, and he'll get like this attitude from people. And then when they meet him,
they're like,
oh my God, you're black. It's so nice to meet you. Like, oh, for God's sake. Right? Stupid. Yeah. It's just dumb.
That is dumb.
It's the reality, though.
People are so disappointed.
The country you're living in. It's so unfortunate.
But one thing I do love, I must say, like, as much as I don't like social media, right? Yeah. I do love the fact that things are turning around. So while we've had a couple of years of this crazy, insane, woke, non-binary, I identify as a toaster mentality, right? A lot of that now is backtracking, and people have seemingly brought back bullying.
Well, I think this is but just careful, because MASH is like the next generation, and when you say bullying, they shit themselves.
No, okay, not that kind of bullying, but kind of like
MASH was just about to call the social worker in. No, I think like anything. And you said you've been on social media for what, 15 years?
Well, it's probably about 16 years. I only started Mixed about 15 years ago.
Yeah. So you know what a 16-year-old is like. They're still figuring themselves out.
Almost have one.
Yeah, there we go. You're really your eldest.
My eldest, I only have one. She's 15 and a half. Can you believe it?
Also, you started Pixbot 10 and had a baby at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
She got real quick.
So when you think of a 15 and a half-year-old, 16-year-old, you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? They're all over the place. Hormones are fucking here, there, and everywhere. Ooh. They're not sure who likes them, who doesn't like them. They are comparing themselves constantly to other people.
Yeah.
They're usually a bit of a mess. And they're just figuring themselves out.
Yeah.
And that is what's happening with social media. It's figuring itself out. It will get better. Yeah. We will get to a point where we don't have to love or hate it. It's just part of life.
Yeah.
And I think it's getting closer to that now. Yeah. You can have a positive, useful, and engaging relationship with social media. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the three of us have. We've been through our ups and downs with Twitter or with Facebook or with Instagram or with TikTok. But you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I fear for people who are entirely in that world, like your brother, for example, so many other kids. It's not just your brother. I mean, it's pretty much an epidemic for young people at the moment. They are always on their phones.
Yeah.
I watched people I said I went to the shops yesterday. They don't walk around looking at the shops. They walk around like this.
Yeah.
The whole time. And I'm like, why did you bother coming here?
Yeah, why did they bother coming?
You could have just done your shopping online. Just take a lot, Timu.
Just 60-60.
60-60.
I'll be honest and say, you know, one of the things that myself and my ex, as parents, we actually decided, you know what, our child's not going to have TikTok. And she still today does not have TikTok. Good. She doesn't have Facebook. She doesn't have Instagram. She doesn't need any of this.
Okay, but did you ever feel you were depriving her of something?
Not at all.
Okay, good.
Not at all. You know what? No, because good. she's still getting that social interaction. She has three cousins. So they're always going out, they're playing and that kind of stuff. You know, so they rough and tumble. So she's getting a lot of the social cues and that kind of stuff from there. Mm. Then she goes to a school and she's made a lot of friends. So she moved I moved them 2 years ago to Cape Town. So it was literally like, okay, you're finishing primary school? Great. Now you're going to start high school in Cape Town, in the country, province that you've
it
never
is a
been
country,
to.
No. It's a different country. For Joburg people, it's a different country.
It is a different country. Yeah. And she very quickly made friends. So we chose that, you know, that she is quite well acclimatized to social cues and social norms. And yeah, she gets along famously.
Does she know that her dad was a big celebrity at one stage?
She couldn't be bothered.
No,
it,
not really.
It didn't really interest her at all. Well, I would obviously, if I get invited to like a Disney on Ice and those kind of things, I would take her so she'd get some of the perks and she enjoyed that. Yeah. But it was never, oh, look, my dad is this, my dad is that. No, okay. I think she was also maybe a little bit too young. So she was probably like 6, 7 years old
Mash, if your brother comes to Joburg and goes out with you and people recognize you, doesn't that give him like a bit of a thrill?
I've actually been recognized a number of times while I was with him, even in Klerksdorp. And I thought it would excite him. It'll make him realize that, oh, wow, I should actually be talking to him instead of just staring at my phone.
It's the real world. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care because he wants to see the G-Wagons. He wants to see the lavish lifestyle of that. It's a mindset.
And because he's also humanized you.
Yes.
So that's the thing. Like people have glamified what Instagram is and the lives that people lead on those things. It's not real.
I want to go to something else for a second, not because I think this is boring, but because I've got both of you here. Mash just mentioned 60-60. Yeah. Now, I know you're not involved in that pig spotter stuff anymore, but I reckon these 60-60 guys,
dude,
they're the biggest danger on the road.
100%.
Because last night I saw, it was this morning. It wasn't even last night. It was this morning coming into work. There were two of these 60-60 guys on their bikes, obviously going, because the shops aren't open yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were, none of them had lights on their bikes. And these bikes, I don't know, you see some of the condition of these things is not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I feel sorry for them. At the same time, they are probably the victims of more accidents than anybody else.
They are.
Because they're going along too slowly, too fast, dark road, no lights, delivery, trying to squeeze in three deliveries within an hour or whatever. It can't be easy. And I certainly don't want to have them banned. That would be a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't want to have them punished for things that are not their fault. But they are like a different law unto themselves, right?
They're basically the new taxi drivers of the motorbiking community.
Yeah, of course.
That's literally what they are. Numerous times, I also ride a bike.
And you ride a bike.
I ride a bike. And I've numerous times actually stopped at a robot next to one of them. I said to the guy straight, I said, listen, carry on riding like that. You are going to die.
And they do. The sad thing is they are.
They do. And once I actually saw one riding without a helmet. And funny enough, he happened to be doing it down my road. He was driving down my road in Big Ari. And saw him riding without a helmet. So I actually stopped him. Because I have a helmet that's like a bit of an older one. I bought myself a new one, so I had a little bit of an older one. I was like, listen, at least here's one. Mm. Like, just take it and just wear it at least. Yes. If you're wearing nothing else, and then you didn't have a jacket or pants or anything like that. It's just like shorts, a t-shirt, and no helmet. He's like, no, thank you. I was just starting, check a 660. I'm like, guy, you get taken off that bike, you come off second best every time.
Carol calls them the biggest bike gang in South Africa.
100%.
Lee says people must just give motorcycles and bicycle drivers the right of way. They don't have the protection of a car, so just be kind and let them pass. Don't sweat the small stuff. Would you agree with that?
I always let them pass. Yeah.
They use electric bikes now, so you can no longer hear them coming. That's also a thing.
Yeah. Sounds dangerous.
Beth says,
it absolutely is. Sorry to cut you off there. But I was approached by, obviously, because in the height of the whole pig spotter thing, I'm a biker. I was approached by companies, hey, listen, here's these electric bikes. These things are amazing. Yeah. Come through, try it out to let us know. Now, I used to ride a Harley Davidson, and this thing is very loud. Okay? Yeah. and like loud and proud and extra lights on, you know, yes. I need to be seen, I need to be heard. That's, but it's for my own safety. That really is what it's about. Says, okay, come through, meet me in Parkhurst, and you're going to try out this bike. We're just going to go down to Joburg Zoo and come back again, and you can get a feel for it. Okay. The acceleration on that thing is pretty impressive. It's really cool. It's great acceleration.
Yeah.
But on that short drive, I almost got taken out about four times. And him and I were actually riding, you know, in a small convoy. It's just the two of us.
Yeah.
But I almost got taken out four times because all of a sudden people saw, oh, there's a bike next to me, and they swerved out of the way. Because obviously their intention is to give way. And they want to be safe. But other guys don't see you. So they just come straight.
You're basically saying that a bike needs to make a noise.
Absolutely.
As much noise as possible.
Absolutely. So you can hear them coming and move out the way and whatever the story is. Yeah.
Sure.
But I mean, that didn't help my situation. I mean,
no.
Like I said, literally a year ago, I had, on that Harley, I was coming down Barry Hertog Drive, and I had a driver make two illegal U-turns.
Yeah.
Not one, two. So the first one, and I could see he was about to make a U-turn. I bet her talk is four lanes, right?
Yeah.
It's two lanes coming, two lanes going. And I could see him on the opposite side with these hazards going. And just by the way, he was looking at the cars coming, approaching him on his rearview mirror. I said, okay, this guy's going to make a U-turn. And now I'm obviously ahead of other traffic that's coming to alongside with me, right? And I see him, I slow down and I see him make the U-turn. I was like, yeah, you see, if I didn't watch out, if I wasn't, you know, perceptive, this was going to happen. I was going to get knocked off. And then he's driving on the left-hand side of the road, and I'm like, okay, well, now I'm going to overtake him. Sunday, 11:45 a.m., on my way to a kid's birthday party. And as I go now to overtake him, he does another right. So what his intention was, I don't know if you know, in Greenside, there's a shopping center, and there's a parking lot, big parking lot, but there's an exit-only entrance.
Yes.
Okay, entrance, exit. Right, so it's the exit only. And you can only come out, you're not allowed to go in there. To go in, you have to go further down, by the robot, turn right to come in.
Yes.
He wanted to illegally, again, shoot into
the parking lot. Let me ask you this, both of you, because this is something that comes up all the time. People, our driving is getting much worse. And I'm not the best driver. I've had car accidents.
You were caught speeding as well.
Caught speeding. I'm in no position to like point fingers at other
people.
We
all do.
Yeah.
You know, and frankly, I don't think there's anyone in South Africa who's never broken any rules of the road. So just don't give me too much shit. The point is, and I mean this humbly, I think we really have like a pretty awful track record. We know about pedestrian deaths, accidents, road claims. Mm-hmm. We know what a disaster the road accident fund is, all of this stuff. And it's probably, I'd say 80, 90% of it is people just not paying attention and not giving a shit about other people. Like, I don't know why people think it's okay to mindlessly, I mean, you can even see it without cars. You just see it by the way people walk and don't look at where they're walking. People bump into each other. They don't give a shit. They're like, they're in their own world. They're not paying attention to anything that's going on around them. You could see it on the highways even. You watch a car going like this and you think,
busy swerving. You go past them. They're on freaking TikTok.
TikTok.
Right. We got to tidy our shit up, right?
It's a me first attitude, actually. It's what it's about.
Mm.
People are always, I mean, and that's also something you see on social media all the time is your mental health. Wellness is of paramount importance. You know, you need to put yourself first. You matter before anyone else is pretty much what they're
yeah, and people have taken that to the nth degree.
Absolutely.
So now all they think about is themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no one else exists around them. Yeah.
It's a sad reality.
Yeah. It's horrible. so somebody says here about the 60-60 guys, they have little mini taxis to drive around. Apparently, they also all kind of live in
together.
Yeah, they're not all of them in the whole country, but like they live in, because I know that there's a house near where I live where there are about five or six of these guys who all live together. Yeah,
not just the 60-60 drivers, Uber,
all of them.
All these guys, they all live in these little arrangements.
I mean, it's probably clever for them; they can save money, right?
Because I know when I lived in Rivonia, actually, even now, I live in Greenstone now, but there's a corner close by in my area where you'll just see Ubers, and it's lots of Corollas, C-classes, because that's most of the Uber blacks. C-classes, Corollas, just parked at that corner.
Right.
And all these guys live there. Like, they sleep in these cars.
Well, that's why the cars smell
they
like
sleep
that.
In, okay. That's why the cars smell like balls all the time. Because they sleep in them. And yeah, they live in there. I mean, I remember I was once in a car, and this one guy, I think I had just woken him up. He even had like stuff in his eyes here. I think like my request just pinged in like, to go, time to go pick someone up.
This is a long clock.
And yeah, he came by, picked me up. I was living in Rivonia at the time, and the car smelled like balls. Yeah. Crazy balls.
Yeah, he's just like sleeping. Yeah, in there, and on top of that, in there, and
it was like his home. It
no, it's bad.
It was like, this car is his home. I could tell, and even I remember his app was going off. His Grindr app was going off, and you could hear that.
Oh no!
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow, he's very comfortable in here. Hey, very comfortable. I felt super uncomfortable.
Yeah, there's something about. So, what do you guys think of the Afrikaans one? That's also getting a lot of heat. People are like angry because they say, well, why must you be Afrikaans? It was set up as an Afrikaans Uber.
It's not a race thing. It's just a language thing.
But I mean, they're not going to have a problem if a black driver speaks Afrikaans.
Yeah.
So, look, you know what social media is like. We've spoken about this. They lose their minds about anything on there.
Oh, they look for reasons.
So what do you think of the fact that now you can use, what is it called? Vanuatu?
Yeah, Vanuatu.
Vanuatu.
Oh, Vanuatu.
You could use them. I want to try them. See what they're.
I want to try it too. But I don't know Afrikaans, Garrett. So it's going to be so much fun. But you make a TikTok.
You can try a little bit.
I'm from Kwakwa.
No, but you please, when you go home, when you visit your parents.
Okay, I visit them in Clarkston.
Oh, exactly.
But I'm going to. I want to try Vanuatu and just get in there and be like, hey, hello, Yala. You know, who can do?
Imagine if they get Vanuatu. Okay, so you know when it's going to get confusing? Is if they bring out Vanuatu Black.
Oh, no. Then you must speak.
They'll mean like Uber Black, but yes. You know, the driver, I'm not going to use Vanuatu Black.
That'll be amazing. One just for Xhosa people. So you just speak Xhosa when you enter.
Why don't you? I mean, listen, two business ideas for you before you go anywhere. First thing, why don't you start like a kind of Gen Z type driving service where you can only have Gen Z, so you don't have to talk shit to some old man or old woman, right? That's the one thing. There's Vanuatu. The second thing is you must bring out Mash's skincare products.
You know, I thought of that.
Your creams. Look at what you got them sold out in clicks. So
I thought of that, but I think I need to consult a lawyer first, just to be safe.
Please, how many black hair care products have been brought out over the years that we found out is very bad?
Too many.
Right?
Yeah.
So go on, Mash. Do
it. Okay, I'm gonna launch my own creams.
Go on. Yeah. Why not?
Then it'll be called Uya Krima.
Uya Krima.
Yeah, that's what they'll be called.
Vaseline 2.0.
Yeah. And then Vanuatu for Xhosa people. I'm
there we
Xhosa.
Go. Let's do it.
So that'll be interesting.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So you're going to Cape Town, Cliff?
Yes. Yes, I am. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I will forever be between provinces. That's literally going to be my life.
You're going to still look like a Joe Burger in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I mean,
there's no way. No one's going to look at you and go, this guy, he's definitely from here.
Mountain. No, definitely not.
What made you decide to go down eventually?
Just a better life for my child.
Okay.
To be honest. Yeah. So it was a case of her and her mom would literally go, let's say, from home to school to work. Back to the school to fetch the child, and then back home. Yeah. That was their life.
There was no real, so you could be anywhere.
Yeah, she was in attempted hijacking twice, smashed and grabbed as well. I think it was either once or twice as well. And they were always in a state of paranoia.
Oh, no, that's not good.
If there was any like family event, they would go to the family event and then say, listen, we need to leave before like 5 o'clock, before it starts getting dark, because they don't want to drive around at night.
Oh, that's not nice.
So then that's not a way that I wanted my child
to
grow up in, you know? So I said, let's go down to... So I actually went on a whale trail. I'd never thought about going to Cape Town. I actually went on a whale trail. Did that for 5 days. You actually see the whales coming, you know, along there by Hermanus.
Oh, wow.
And I fell in love with Cape Town then. That's when Cape Town actually spoke to me. And I said to my ex, I said, listen, what do you guys think about coming to Cape Town? She was like, yep, let's go. Within 3 months in Cape Town, moved them down.
Go, I think that's great. You know, people, again, make your own decision wherever you want to go. I couldn't live in Cape Town. It's a fun place to go. Mm. I like visiting.
Yeah.
Couldn't live there.
Yeah.
Julian in the comments says, oh, I'm keen to connect with Mash. And then there's a come on, bro, hook up. So there's a message for you there, Mash. Don't convince Mash to do skincare products or anything. It's that cuck that funded Action SA with Herman Mashaba.
Actionless SA?
Yeah. What they're the 423rd biggest party in the country? What are they?
Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Who knows?
What a joke.
All right. Well, listen. I can't believe it's 8 o'clock already. This has been Mash. It feels like five minutes. Right?
Time flies.
Yes, sis. Busy morning. Just put up that great picture I took once more. Let people just have a look at my
appreciate it.
How amazing are my photography skills? I mean, just look at the perfect balance of the columns and see that.
Oh, my
word. Cropped in just right.
That's incredible, dude. That's a great photo.
Yeah.
And we actually in Joburg have the best sunsets.
No, it's not the sunset. It's all the photographer. You know? I just want to remind all the actual photographers in the country, you don't have to worry. Photography isn't even a hobby of mine. That's how talented I am. I just took that picture and look how great it is. So you don't have to worry. I'm not going to come into your world and try to steal your thunder. I have no interest in becoming a photographer, but you know, you're lucky I've decided I don't want to because I'd take all your jobs.
People run out of jobs. Yeah.
I'm just going to list that on my. In fact, I'll change all my bios to photographer for today.
Just add it on to it as well.
Just great. I love the way everybody thinks when they take one good picture.
I'm an amazing photographer.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm really not. Pure luck. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Mash, thank you. It's always good to see you.
Thank you, Gary.
And be safe with that peroxide. Don't use more than 40 volumes.
Okay? I will try not.
Please. And Cliff, very good to see you, my friend. Too, and I hope that we all catch up again soon.
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, lovely. Enjoy nice. Cape Town.
We'll do.
Mash, we've got to make this product work.
I'm going to make this product and sell it.
Let's
after
go.
After consulting a lawyer.
Let's go.
All right.
If you can sell out all of Click's supply of peroxide after a TikTok video, you can easily sell a couple of thousand bottles of this product. Let's 100%. Go, Mash.
For the inner
mix
thighs,
it for eh? Them. You can make sure it's safe.
Yeah.
Not these idiots who are burning themselves.
He doesn't.
All right, everybody. We will see you on Friday. Have an awesome day.